How many of you as parents have ever just said, now what? I remember about 24 years ago when my daughter was born, we have two children, one's 24 and one's 20. And I remember after that little girl was born and we prepared to take her home from the hospital. Took us 30 minutes to put the car seat in. Had the biggest fight we'd ever had trying to learn. And we'd practiced that thing and practiced it. But I'm going to tell you, I walked out of that hospital and I'm seriously, my thoughts were, now, God, what in the world am I going to do? I'd been working with students for about 15 years, but I was scared to death because I had never been around babies. And I was just scared to death I was going to break her or something. And then I noticed that all through the different stages of her life and Michael's life, that kept coming up. I mean, when their feelings were hurt, when they were bullied, when a relation, when that, you know, someone, you know, broke their heart, I'm like, God, now what do I say? What do I do? And then I know none of you have done this, but I would do stupid things and say stupid stuff, and I'd break their little heart or hurt their feelings, and I'd go like, okay, God, what do I do now? You ever been there? I guarantee you have. This morning, I'm going to talk to you as parents, or the message is geared to you as parents, but I believe the principles that we're going to look at are going to be something that everybody here can use, even though maybe you're not a parent, okay? And I think you can apply them to every area of your life, and especially your relationships. So how many of you here are parents? Okay, great, great, great. You could notice as those parents that lifted their hands, if you look around at the ones that are grinning, they're empty nesters, okay? Their kids are gone. See, I see you guys grinning out there. You're just loving it. You're like, hey, man, been there, done that, you know, and it's went great. And then there's some of you out there, you know, you're kind of frowning a little bit because you're boomerang parents. You know what that means? Your kids have come back. Uh-huh. Bye-bye retirement. There it is. You know, some of you are in that situation. And then there's those of you that are grandparents. How many of you are grandparents? Yeah. See, you think your job is to just spoil your grandkids, don't you? Uh-huh. Just to spoil your grandkids so you can get back at your kids. I can't wait to that day. Okay, I'm going to give them Mountain Dew, chocolate, you know. I'm going to let them stay up all night. You know, I'm just going to do all kind of things like that. But, you know, sometimes parenting is full of surprises. Would you agree with that? Relationships are full of surprises, but especially parenting. And I remember a number of years ago, I used to kid Kim when Joel Osteen would come on TV. And I'd holler, hey, your boyfriend's on TV. And, you know, she'd run. She loved to watch Joel Osteen. And I would kid her about that. And one day, her and Michael went to Wally World. He used to love to go to Wally World, his mother. Now he, you know, wouldn't do it. But he used to love to do that. That was their thing. And so they had walked in Wally World, and Joel Osteen's first book had just came out. And there was a big old display, and there was a lot of people over there looking at it. And Michael just holler out, hey, Mom, there's your boyfriend. And, you know, shh, Michael, be quiet. He's not my boyfriend. Your daddy just says that. Well, that's what daddy says. You know, and, you know, sometimes our children can embarrass us in many different ways. But you know something? There's nothing compared to raising a child. Nothing in the whole hemisphere. There's nothing in that category that can compare to that. And I believe that's why the whole process begins with the word labor. Reckon? That's it. Now let me ask you a question. When it comes to parenting, do you feel inadequate, insufficient? I'm with you. I still do, even though my kids are older. But listen to this. In my insufficiency, God is sufficient. And my philosophy in life, and especially in parenting, is anytime there's a problem, there's an opportunity. If you begin to look at the problems that you have with your children as an opportunity, not just for you to intervene, but for God to intervene, for God to do something in their life so they can experience Him in a deeper way, so that you can experience God in a deeper way. so that God can show up. The Bible says that when I am weak, he is made strong. It's a time for God to show up. Some of you are like, hey, Stephen, I need God to give somebody else some opportunities because I got enough right now. Okay? Been there, done that. As I was thinking about this concept of family and thinking about how God would like for me to share with you about this, that then God gave me some biblical principles, I believe, and some things, some experiences in my life and in Kim's life that I think I could share with you and maybe to help you in the process. So let's see what God's word has to say. And look at this verse here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. It's the words that Moses spoke to the children of Israel before they were to go into the promised land. Look what it says. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're going to get up. As I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, I prayed and said, God, could you give me a word to express and really to convey to the church what this passage of Scripture really means when it comes to parenthood? But you see, most of the people that Moses was possibly reading this passage of Scripture to had been born in the wilderness. Their parents had possibly died in the wilderness. And so they were possibly new parents. And so a word, as I was driving down the road, and a word just popped into my mind. It was the word cultivate. You see, because I believe that's what this passage of Scripture here is saying for us to do as parents. When you cultivate something or cultivate the soul, basically what you're doing is you're preparing the soul. You're breaking up the soul. You're softening the soul so that something can be planted. So here's the first thing I want you to see this morning. When it comes to parenting, cultivate an atmosphere of loving the Lord your God. That's what this passage of Scripture, I believe, is saying to us. When it's saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and all your soul. That's what that passage there is saying. Cultivate an atmosphere of loving the Lord your God. I came across this quote some time ago, and I think it's very interesting. Our primary goal is not to be good parents. Now, some of you just woke up. Those of you who had toddlers, you said, oh, I need to wake up about this. Our primary goal is not to be good parents. Our primary goal is to model a vital and vibrant love relationship with the living God. Because you see, if that happens, I believe the first thing will happen in our life. This verse that we looked at is saying to create a thirst for God. That's what it's talking about. To create a thirst for God. You see, here, watch this, guys. This is so good. And I'm like, God, I can't believe you gave this to me, but this is good. Please get this. When you cultivate, you're preparing the soul, you're breaking up the soul, you're softening the soul. Now, listen to me, parents. Be careful that you don't harden the soul. For many of years, those of us in the church, instead of softening the soul, we hardened the soul with rules and regulations and tradition. Watch this, get this. You see, we are to cultivate, to prepare, to soften the soul so that it can be prepared for a seed. A seed. And then when we plant the seed by loving God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and then the Spirit of the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the living water comes and germinates the seed, and a brand new relationship with Almighty God begins in the life of your child. Is that not amazing? As you go through parenthood, I hope that word cultivate will just be planted in your mind. And you'll realize what Almighty God is doing through you. Notice how many times the word your or you is used in this passage of scripture. Love the Lord your God. In other words, it's a personal thing with all your heart and your soul and your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly, giving you today, repeat them again and again, to your children. It's your responsibility. It's not the children's ministry. It's not my job as a student ministry. We're to team up together, okay? We're to pinch hit for each other. We're to cultivate together. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are getting up. Do you see the individuality of this passage of scripture here? It's based on your relationship with God, your relationship with your student, okay? It's based on your personality and how you worship an almighty God. I really believe that's what Moses wanted them to see. It's not about your parents. It's not about those that are in the wilderness. I believe he was saying God is doing a new thing through you and your children. Now, I also believe in this passage of scripture that when he says talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, that Moses is saying use everyday examples in the life of your children. Use everyday examples. Another crazy story about Michael and his mama. Same kind of situation. They were heading out and he wanted to go to Wally World. Okay. She said, Michael, got too much to do today. We can't do that. And he just threw a fit. Any of your kids ever throw a fit? You know, went to pout and had this thing on his face, you know. And so he walks out the door and he kicks a bush. Just, you know, bucked up like he was going to whoop Hulk Hogan or something. You know what I mean? And his mama turned around and said, did you kick that bush? And he said, yes. And he just reared back and kicked it again. And she says, why'd you kick that bush? Because I'm mad. She looked at him and said, apologize to that bush. He looked at her. I wasn't there. She told me the story. She said, I mean it. You apologize to that bush or we're not going anywhere. And he stood right there and apologized to that bush. He came home, Daddy, Mama made me apologize to a bush. I said, I wish I could have seen it, son. We kid him about that to this day. But watch out, Michael, you got to apologize to that bush again. The young people and the youth leaders here will verify that a lot of times they'll ask me something and I'll say, well, I got to pray about it. Just something simple. And I'll say that to them. I began doing that with my children years ago. They'd come, hey, can I go over to Will's house? I don't know, I'll pray about it. Can I go do this? I don't know, I'll pray about it. Something simple, can you know, blah, blah, blah. Can I stay? I'll pray about it. Let me tell you why I did that. I wanted my children to know that there's nothing in their life that I'm not going to pray about. I wanted them to know that I prayed about everything, that prayer was very important to me because I wanted it to be important to them. And I'll say that now. I'll say that to them. Even as they've gotten older. You see, the reason that I do that too is because I had a mama that was a prayer warrior. She believed in prayer. And if there was something me and her disagreed about, you know what she'd say? I'll just pray about it. And we'll see. Ooh, I didn't like that because my mama got her prayers answered. You know what I mean? She had a little better connection than I did. All right. One of her favorite verses, and it's still my favorite, one of my favorite verses, and I think it's a verse that we can use as parents. Don't be anxious about anything. Parents, you're a little anxious this morning. You're a little anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Pray about everything. Create an atmosphere of prayer in your house. Cultivate an atmosphere of prayer in your house. Cultivate an atmosphere of loving God. And cultivate an atmosphere of prayer. Watch this. Prayer turns parents into prophets who shape the destiny of their children. Prayer turns parents into prophets who shape the destiny of their children. Let me tell you, if you're just praying for your children when something bad happens or when you don't understand something, then you're not playing the role that God wants you to play. God wants you to share in what he's doing in their life. Get this, prayer doesn't just change our children, it changes us. Prayer is not about, you know, outlining our agenda for God. The purpose of prayer is to get his agenda into us. We need to do that. Pray for your children. And don't just pray generic prayers. Be specific with the way you pray. Pray for guidance. Pray for guidance. Now, I want you to listen to this next thing I'm going to say, because I learned this a few years ago, and this is a powerful statement that you can really apply to your life as a parent. You don't love your children equally. Now, I got a couple frowns, and like, has this guy lost his mind? You don't love your children equally. Watch this. You love them uniquely. You can't love your children equally, I don't think. But you love them uniquely because they're different. They have different personalities. They have different likes and different dislikes. And I believe that every child has a specific love language. And you need to discover their love language so you can know how to love them. Because if you're not communicating love in a language they understand, then they're not going to get it. I have to communicate to my children in a different love language because they're different. Because God created them that way. So we don't love them equally. We love them uniquely. Guys, I've made a ton of mistakes as a parent. There's been a number of times that I've had to say, Michael, Evan, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Can I tell you something? It's okay. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But can I tell you something? You're not the only one raising your children. Your Heavenly Father is partnering with you and your spouse, and he compensates, get this, he compensates for your weaknesses and your failures and your deficiencies. God is involved in the parenting process with you. You have the potential to be a great parent. I don't care what's happened to you in your life. I don't care where you are, what stage you're in your parenthood. But you have the potential to be a great parent. Pray about what you pray about. Do you hear that? Pray about what you pray about. I don't know about you, but there's times I don't know what to pray about my children. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God intervenes and prays for us when we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit of God knows what your children need. The Holy Spirit of God knows what's going on in the life of your child. And if you don't bring him in the equation, you're not going to have a clue what's going on. Pray about what you pray about. Pray about where they're going to attend school. Pray about who they're going to date. Pray about their sexuality. Pray about what you're going to pray about. When our daughter was trying to decide where she was going to go to college and there was somewhere she wanted to go that we just didn't feel like that was the best place for her, because I feel like we know her and we know her personality and what she's about, and her friends were going there, and so we kind of tried to steer her to, you know, somewhere, not because her friends were going there, but we just didn't think that was where she needed to be. And so we began to pray about that, began to encourage her and ask her to pray about it, and then it came down to where there were two schools schools that she was going to go to. We knew the decision had to be made. And Kim and I were praying about that. And then she comes into the room that particular day, and she was just grinning. And we said, what's going on? And she says, well, I made my decision. Oh, really? She says, yeah. Someone from Furman University just called and said, we really want you here. And I had prayed today, Daddy, that God would give me a sign. Pray about what you pray about. Pray for guidance. But parents are not the only prophecies for our children. Prayers are not the only prophecies for our children. Our words are prophecies for our children. We need to be careful what we say to our children. You're going to be just like your father. You're not going to amount to anything. You're never going to get through with that school. You're so stupid. Let me tell you something. It takes hours and years sometimes to overcome those negative words in the life of our children. We need to praise our children. We need to speak words of comfort and encouragement to our children. Because you see, parents, you don't just predict the future for your children. You are creating the future for your children by the words that you say to them and around them. Let them know that you believe in them. Let them know that they're special. Let them know that they light up your world. Let them know that they make your life enjoyable and that you're so glad that God put them in your life. If you've got daughters here this morning, let me tell you something. If you don't encourage your daughter and hug them and love them, listen, somebody else will, and they'll go a lot further with them than you want them to go. You better learn to love your children. Listen to me, Dad. Some of us, we've got the motions of a brick, okay? Let's just be honest. You better learn to love that daughter of yours and hug her. And tell her she's special. But don't just love it. Love your daughters that way. Sometimes your son will act like they don't want you to hug them, but you go over there and just give them the biggest bear hug, lift them off the ground, embarrassed to hang out of them when they're around their friends. They may act like they didn't like that, but they do. They do. My dad was not that type of person a lot. I knew he loved me. Some of you are sitting there thinking, well, my dad didn't do a lot of that. There just went that theory, okay? We have to work at it. It's important. It means a lot. So we have to cultivate an atmosphere of encouragement. Cultivate that atmosphere. Create that atmosphere. Say it with words. Also, say it with your presence. There's nothing more encouraging to a child, I don't think, than the presence of their parent at something they're involved in. There's nothing more important than you taking your kid and letting them be involved in your life with you. Now, you're probably not going to believe this, but after Michael was born, after about 2 years of age, he became my golfing partner. I'm serious. And it'd be amazing, guys. Kim would say, don't you think it's time for you and Michael to go golfing? I'd be like, yes, there is a God. He would literally be in his car seat. And we would go golfing together with another friend of mine named Mike. One time he was about 3 years old because I'd let him sit right in between me when he wasn't in the car seat. And he would take his little foot and get down there and push the gas pedal and drive the golf cart. One time we were about the sixth or seventh hole somewhere, and Michael's sitting in the golf cart, and all of a sudden the golf cart goes taking off. I'm like, oh, Jesus, please do a miracle right here. I know you parted the Red Sea and you can walk on water, but Father God, something's got to happen because there was a lake he was headed to. And luckily, another one of the guys was golfing with us ran over and jumped in the cart and hit the brake. Because he had lodged his foot on the gas pedal and couldn't get it off and slid right down there. And I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I looked at him and I said, son, if you tell your mama this happened, we'll never get to golf again. I promise you, don't you tell your mama what happened. But we need to say it with our presence. You know, grandparents, you guys are, I don't know what the world would be without grandparents. You guys are just amazing. I came across some things that some third graders said about some grandparents, and I just think I've got to share that with you. What is a grandma? A grandmother is a lady who had no children of her own, so she likes other kids. Yeah. A grandfather is a man grandmother. Grandmothers don't have to do anything but just be there. They're so old they shouldn't play or run. When they walk, they're real slow. But they notice little things like leaves and caterpillars. They never say, hurry up. They wear glasses and they take out their teeth at night. They don't have to be smart, though. Only answer questions like why dogs hate cats and how come God wasn't married. When they read to us, they never skip or don't mind if we want them to read it again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, because grandmas are the only ones who have a lot of time. Wow. Say it with your presence. Say it with your time. And then learn to say, I love you beyond performance. Don't base your approval on performance. Because if we're not careful, we create a child who only does things to receive performance and thinks they have to perform their whole life to be approved. Scripture says, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. You know what that means? They're exasperated. It means do not anger your children. Don't badger them. Don't irritate them. Don't discourage them. And the word there, training, actually is a word that means to admonish or in a sense to encourage them in their training and in their instruction. And guys, if we're not careful, we can break the spirit of our child. And I there were times I probably did that. But we need to be careful when we do that. And we need to cultivate an atmosphere of encouragement. And then here's the last thing I want you to see this morning is cultivate an atmosphere of expectation. Cultivate an atmosphere of expectation. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or dream. God is so able to do far more than we could ever ask, dream, or imagine. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. What are you expecting God to do in the life of your family? What are you expecting God to do in the life of your child? Do you have big expectations, or are you just hoping they make it through fifth grade? God, if you could just get me through adolescence, God, help me. Now they say some students' adolescence lasts into their early 20s, so bless you, parents. Seriously. Have great expectations for your children and let them know that you have great expectations for them. Listen to me this morning. I don't want my children to just stay out of trouble. I just don't want to just pray, God, I just hope you'll just keep them out of trouble and, you know, they'll never do anything wrong. I don't want them to just be morally good. I want my children and I want our students to do something awesome with their life, to make a difference, to impact this world. They are children of the Most High God, and God didn't create them for nothing. God created them and placed a purpose within them, and through the Holy Spirit of God, He's going to empower them to fulfill that purpose. What are you expecting from your children? Fathers, mothers, parents, what are you expecting in your family? Have you just given up? Have you just settled for less? Have you just settled for a career that you know you're unhappy in and you know that's not where God wants you just because you're comfortable? What are you expecting God to do? Cultivate an atmosphere of expectation. Look at this verse. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Can I proclaim over some of you this morning? I believe there's some parents and some families here this morning that God wants to break a cycle that you've lived in, your parents have lived in, and your parents' parents have lived in. I believe in this church this morning, there's some cycles of addiction. There's some cycles of alcoholism. There's some cycles of sexual addiction. There's some cycles of poverty. And you don't have to live that way anymore. If you will have great expectations and claim some great expectations, then I believe the Bible says, and I believe God is telling us this morning, I will restore to you the years that Satan has taken away from you. I will restore to you the years of parenthood that you lost. I will restore that to you. I can break that cycle that's been in your family for years. I can bring restoration to you. I really believe as God gave me this message that God was saying to me, Stephen, there's some cycles in that church that need to be broken, that need to be walking away from. And God's word is saying to you today that he wants to restore your family. He wants to restore you today. And I believe that starts with a love relationship with Jesus Christ. When Almighty God steps out of heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ, and steps into your heart, and then all of a sudden you begin that vital, vibrant relationship with God, and then you can share that vital love relationship with your child. And you can walk out of here this morning and be a different parent than you've ever been, and you can break that cycle, and you can be that parent that God's challenging you to be. I wonder if there's anybody here today that you don't have a relationship with Almighty God. You know about God, you've heard about God, but you've never literally invited him to be your Lord and Savior. You've never embraced him. I want to challenge you to do that today. I'm sure there's some of you here today, your heart has been broken or is broken right now because of a child. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Expect God to do what his word says he'll do. Expect him to give you freedom. Expect him to still cultivate through you that seed so that the living water of Jesus Christ can germinate that seed and that child can experience the life that God wants them to experience. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? I wonder if you'd say to me today, Pastor, God spoke to me this morning, and I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I need to ask him into my heart. I need for him to be my Lord and my Savior. I need for that to happen today. If you're in that situation today and you mean that, would you just look up at me or raise your hand real quickly and then put your hand back down? Anybody here this morning? Anybody? We're looking around. Anybody here? Okay. And I wonder if there's a parent here this morning that you'd say, Stephen, will you please pray for me that I will be a cultivator in the life of my child? I need to do that. I'm not doing that the way I need to do it. If that's where you are this morning, just raise your hand. Just be honest with God. Just be honest with God. Thank you so much. There may be some of you here this morning. You need to pray for a child. Thank you. You need to come down and there'll be people here to pray with you, to guide you. You can go in the back. There'll be somebody there to pray with you. But if you need somebody to carry that burden with you, let us help you here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for guiding us, for directing us. Father, thank you for showing us mercy and grace when we just totally screwed up as a parent. And Father, thank you that you were there right along beside us. And Father, I pray that these families here will take advantage of that and that they'll know that they're not in this game alone. But you put them there for that purpose, and you've created within them what they need to do to be a great parent. And then, Father, those here that are just having a battle, God, I pray that they'll just feel your love. They'll feel your touch. That, God, you'll let them know you understand. That, God, you watched your son hang on a cross so that we could experience you. You understand. You know the pain, Father God. We love you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.